Appreciate Brother Colbert for those selections that he made. He made up his mind finally. Really appreciate that, brother. There are so many of you that are sitting here that there are so many good things that can be said about you. And for all that are gathered here right now, there's one good thing that we could probably say without a shadow of a doubt, that we all believe in God and all have not trusted in His word, but all believe in God. And I want us to pay attention this evening for those that are in Christ and for those that are outside of Christ, and understand that God's word is true. The sermon topic on this evening is God means what He says. God means what He says. We have told our children and we have heard it told to other children. And when we were children, we heard it said we would get our lives in order right away. When it shouted out from the next room, "Did you hear what I said?" We knew what it meant. We knew that we had to get our lives right at that moment. As some cousins and their mother told them to do something, and they decided they were going to do what they wanted to do. And the older sister was not going to put up with them being disobedient to the parents. So she went down there and made the statement, "Did you hear what she said?" And she commenced to putting something on those that were disobedient. Another mom went down and got her kids in order. I'm glad that we were not in that number. We were just observing what was going on. But I want us to know tonight or this evening that God means what He says. No additions, no subtractions. And when we do what we're supposed to do, we will understand that there are no substitutions. And we're blessed when God sees us doing His will. When we're actively being obedient, we're blessed. So we're going to think first off about the additions. In the book of Revelation, the chapters 22, in the verses 18 and 19. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. As the Bible, the revealed word of God, comes to a close, John, as he writes these words, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." No subtractions, no additions. That when we started school and we began to do math, addition and subtraction was the first thing that they wanted to teach us in math. How to add and how to take away. And we understand that addition is good, as long as it's done the way it's supposed to do, or be done. Had a nephew, we took him to a store and we gave him a $10 bill. He went in the store and he bought some items. They gave him his change. He came back out of the store all smiles. "Can I go back in there and get some more money?" He really didn't understand how it was working. The clerk gave him his correct change, but he did not have a $10 bill anymore. It was broken down into different denominations, and that change that they made and they gave to him. So he thought he had more money. Don't work that way. We wish it did. But when we start talking about teaching the word of God and God meaning what He says, those that were obedient, as I stated this morning from the book of Acts chapter 2, those that believed in God's word and were baptized, the Bible says in verse 47, talking about addition, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church, those that were being saved, added to the church, not taken away from the church, but added to the church. Those that continue to do what God desires of them are pleasing in his sight. But we know as we go through the Old Testament that there were people that were not pleasing to God. They heard what God said, heard what God meant, but yet they thought, well, maybe, just maybe, somewhere in their minds, that God will be pleased if I do it this way. Well, we don't know the mind of God. We know God, but we don't know his mind. We're not there. We're not embedded in there to know every single thing that God wants us to do, except for what we read right here in Scripture. He does not appreciate any substitutions for what he has already told us to do. We go to the book of Genesis chapter 4 and we look at verse 3. Cain and Abel, when they were commanded to sacrifice unto the Lord, we find one who thought that he knew better than God. Let's start with verse 1, Genesis chapter 4. We have to see where these two men came from. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offerings, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Cain did not do what God wanted him to do. He tried to substitute. I like how it reads, and it says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. It didn't say he brought the best. And we know that he did not bring the best because God had no regard for it. God was not pleased with what he had done. He tried to substitute something that God had already told him, or how God had already told him how he wanted it. He tried to substitute. We cannot do that. I was in the store yesterday, and I got to the counter, and there lie on the counter was two heads of cabbage. And I asked the lady, I said, what? She didn't want her cabbage? And she said, I guess not. And she just, you know, put the cabbage back. And what it reminded me was of my mom. My mom, when she goes to get cabbage, she liked the green leaves. She don't like all the white leaves. She liked the green leaves. They pick those green leaves off in the store and they throw them away. Brother Mark, I don't know if y'all do that over there where you work or not, but they just throw them away. She's there waiting on them to throw away because she thinks that's the best part of the cabbage. And I want us to understand, when we come before God, if we are not giving God our best, we may as well not give up at all. God wants our best. He wants our best singing. He wants our best giving. He wants our minds to be in the right place when we partake of the communion. He wants our minds to be in the right place and our attitudes to be right when we pray unto him. He wants our minds to be in the right place when we hear his word being proclaimed. This is what God desires. He wants the best from us. No substitutes. We cannot add to the Lord's table. We cannot take steak and we cannot take wine and we cannot take our favorite soft drink and put it with the Lord's table. God does not want that. He's already told us what he wants. And when we look at this and we consider this, that not only does he not want substitutes, but as he desires our best, he's looking at it. And he's watching everything that we do. Everything. And when we do what we're supposed to do, again, we are blessed when we obey. Let's jump to the book of Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, because we just come away from the substitutions there, but we want to look at how someone did exactly what God told them to do and how God felt about that. Genesis chapter 19. We've all heard the story of Noah. We talked about it from time to time, and we even jumped to the end, or we found that Noah got drunk. But we're going to stay right here with Genesis chapter 19, and then we're going to go into the first part of chapter 20. Because I want us to see about this. Well, I actually gave you the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead of myself. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. That's Lot and his daughters. But we find here in Genesis chapter 7, or Genesis chapter 6, going into chapter 7. I'll get it right in a minute. Y'all bear with me. I got my nap too, Brother Colbert, so. In Genesis chapter 6, we find that the earth was corrupt. We find that this has come up before God. But there's one man and his family, they found grace in the eyes of God, and that man was Noah. And as Noah found grace in the eyes of God, we find in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh. I've determined this, to make an end to all flesh. Why? Because the earth was corrupt. Men were doing what they wanted to do. They were serving God. No, they were serving self. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the Bible tells us. And it says in verse 14, he says, well, he told him what he was going to do. I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The ones that are corrupt, the ones that are doing evil, he said, I will destroy them with the earth. Who's doing the talking here? This is God. He's the creator, so therefore he's the destroyer. We worry about our enemies. We worry about what they can do to us. We need to worry about the one that created us, what he can do to us when we're evil, when we are not doing what he wants us to do, when we're bound up in iniquity, when we're wicked before him, when our sins have separated us between us and him. We need to worry about what he'll do to us. And he tells Noah right here what he's going to do. I am going to destroy the earth. And those people that are doing wickedness, I am going to destroy them. But he says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Now, where's he at? Brother Otley, what's your favorite wood to work with? You would not say it was gopher wood, would you? We like oak, we like pine, we like cedar. But he didn't tell Noah to go get those type of woods, did he? He said, you go get gopher wood, and you're going to have to go look it up and find out what gopher wood is all about. But when Noah heard this, Noah didn't think in his mind, well, Lord, what about this tree right here? Or what about that tree over there? Why can't I use that? Because God told him, Noah, I found grace in with you, what you're doing. I'm pleased with what you're doing, but everyone else, I am going to destroy them with the earth. So when God said, make you an ark of gopher wood, Noah wasn't going to sit there and try to debate with God. He was going to continue to do what God told him to do because God had already said, I'm going to destroy them. Noah did not want to be destroyed. He wanted to continue to walk with God and be obedient to him. And so he tells him to make an ark of gopher wood in verse 4. Make rooms in, or verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark to cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its breadth is 50 cubits, and its height is 30 cubits. Make a roof, make an ark for the ark, and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You know, there are places we go, and we say, I don't want to go in there. There's not a back door. He told Noah, you put a door in the side. It's not going to be a back door. You know, that's what they used to tell us. My grandmother, we go knock on the door. She said, go around back. You know what she was telling you? She was telling you, you go around back and come through the back door. There are some houses you go to and they say go around back, and they're not talking about there's a back door around there. There's some dirty dealings going around there. You meet me around back. You go into some clubs, and there's not a back door, so you don't want to go in those type of clubs. You shouldn't be going in clubs anyway, but I'm just saying. Yeah, y'all been there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so, therefore, you sit by the front door, and so when something happens, you can ease right out. But here, there was only one door in the ark. And he continued, and he told him, there in verse 16, continuing, after he made this door, make it with the lower and the second and third decks. For behold, in verse 17, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I would establish my covenant with you. I'm going to establish my covenant with you, Noah, but all other flesh is going to die. Everything in the earth is going to die. I am going to destroy the earth. You know, men don't get it. He is God. He can do whatever he pleases. Only thing we find that the Bible says God can't do is lie. It's impossible for him to lie. That's the only thing. Everything else is in his control. He said, I am going to destroy all flesh in which breathe is in the breath of the life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You know how many that make? That make eight souls. Eight souls that were going to be saved. Everything and everybody else was going to be destroyed. Let's continue. Verse 19. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, and of every creeping thing of the ground according to his kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. And take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. You know what Noah did? Lord, that's a whole lot of animals. You want me to gather them up? Who named the animals? Well, Noah was it. Noah didn't name the animals. Noah didn't have a relationship with the animals, but someone did. Adam had a relationship with the animals, and let's not get that misunderstood when we start talking about he had a relationship with the animals. Noah was allowed to name all the animals, but we find as he named those animals, there was not a help meet suitable for Adam. But not the animals. So God created Eve. But Adam named all the animals. Now Noah has the task to gather two of every kind and take into the ark. Noah didn't disobey. The Bible says in verse 7, and the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. In this generation. And many times we stop right there and just look at all these twos that he took in the ark, and we forget about the animals that he was going to take in order to sacrifice unto God. Noah was obedient to God. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. Are we interested in doing what God wants us to do? Are we interested in being blessed? We hear people say it all the time. Oh, I'm blessed, highly favored in the Lord. Oh, everything is going my way. Ask them, you think I'm lying to you? Go to the grocery store. Say, how you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed. Well, how was worship today? Oh, I didn't have time to go. Well, the book tells us that we're supposed to assemble together. But you are blessed. You're blessed in not doing what God tells you to do. There's a brother that says, you know, the people in jail are blessed. They get three meals a day. They got a roof over their head. They have clean clothes to wear. They are blessed. But yet, people always want to say that they're blessed, but yet not being obedient unto God. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to realize that God means what he says? Salvation is only through his Son. Obedience will only get you the promises that God has made. Eternal life is for those that are obedient, not for the disobedient. The prayers are for the righteous, not for the unrighteous. So we have to do what God wants us to do. We find in Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. No subtractions. Let's not take away from the word of God. Bible tells us if we do, he will take our name out of the book of life. We want our name to be there. We want to be recognized as being one of his children. Genesis chapter 19 and the verse is 26. But Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Now, I want you to look at that, and I want you to look at it again. Lot left the city like God told him to with his two daughters and his wife. When he got to his destination, he realized at that moment that his wife was not with him, because the Bible says she was behind him. She looked back. She turned to a pillar of salt. He was still moving forward. He was still being obedient. And I tell you that from time to time. Let's look forward. Let's not worry about who's on this side and who's on that side. And let's not worry about who's behind us. But let's look forward. Let's press toward the mark. Yeah, if we look forward, we're going to see people that are struggling and we need to help them. We're going to see people that are happy and we need to rejoice with them. We're going to see people that need the word of God told to them, and we're going to stop and we're going to teach them the word of God. And if we continue to move forward, we're going to see how good our God is. We're going to see how things that he has promised to us, how those things will come to pass. If we obey his commandments, and as we think about obeying his commandments, we need to understand and we need to think that many times when people hear that we need to keep the commandments of God, the first thing that want to jump in their minds is, I need to keep the Ten Commandments. That's what jumps through their mind. And what they're doing is they're taking away from the word of God. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. My commandments. And Jesus did not give the Ten Commandments upon Mount Sinai. That was God. And he gave them to Moses for the Israelites. We have to keep the commands that we know that are for us. A command that is very simple, a command that many people are missing today, a command that many people are just avoiding today, is the command to be baptized. Simple command. It's a command from our Lord. It's a command from Jesus. It's a command that the apostles continue to teach. It's a command that we continue to teach today. And we have to understand, when we hear this command, there is no substitution or no subtracting away from it. You cannot do something that God has not told you to do and think that God is pleased with it. Have you ever done something that your mom did not tell you to do, or your dad told you to do, and you came home, you were so excited, you were like, look, mom, look what I done. Look at this, look at that. You know, you see it on commercials, you see it in movies where the kids are in there trying to make dinner. Oh, mom, I made dinner. And you look around at the kitchen, and you say, who's going to clean this up? They don't want to clean it up. They messed it up. So we have to understand that when we do things and we think that people are pleased with this thing, oh, the effort is great, but you have missed the mark. So we look in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus says there in verse 18, he appreciates what God has done for him. For he says, all authority in heaven and in earth. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. He says, go therefore and teach all nations, or making disciples of all nations. One version said, teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By the authority, baptize them. And once they're baptized, the Bible says, you continue to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And this is where we're missing the mark in many cases. Those of us that call ourselves faithful members of the Lord's church, we are failing to continue to teach our new converts the word of God so that they may stay strong, that they may continue to abide, that they may continue to be diligent in searching the scriptures, that they may be able to teach others, as we were talking about on last Sunday evening, as we teach our young men, our faithful young men, so they may be able to teach others also. We've failed, and it's sad that we have had so many new converts to go back out into the world because we did not do what God said for us to do. God means what he says. So we have to be steadfast. We cannot add to it. We cannot take away from it. We cannot substitute it. But we can look forward to the blessings if we obey. Are you willing this evening to be steadfast in God's teaching? Are you willing to obey what he says? on next Sunday evening, Lord willing, we live and we be here. We're going to talk about the commandments that God has given. We're going to talk about the commands that we're supposed to obey. And I'm not going to be able to list all of them because, you know, it's a variety of different ways that we look at the scriptures and the way we understand the things that we're supposed to do. And there's a whole lot of commands from the book of Matthew all the way to the book of Revelation that we can look at and say, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do that. And all the things that are there, we need to understand what the book of James says. To him that knoweth to do right and do it not, to him it is sin. So if there's a command that needs to be kept, we need to keep it. If there is something need to be taught, we need to teach it. Are you willing this evening? If you're here and you're not a child of God and you're willing to become one, do not hesitate. Do not put off any longer. Make up in your mind to come down the aisle, make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in the watery grave, come in contact with the blood, and according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47, once again, praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord is willing and waiting to add you to the church if you are obedient. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold and you're ready to come back. Do not hesitate. Tomorrow is not ours. Your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished into what? The doctors are right sometimes, but the doctors are so far wrong on other times. When they say, oh, you only have a little time to live. Sometimes they are right on the money. You only have a little time to live. But then there's a time where they say, oh, you have a long time to live, and they're not so right, and you die. James is very right. Your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Oh, we're enjoying the green grass right now, but you know what's going to happen pretty soon? That grass is going to turn brown. That's because of the change of seasons. But your life does not have to end apart from God. You never have to be separated away from him if you would obey and remain faithful unto death. You will always be with the Lord. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.